are listening to Radio Albion.
Hello everybody and welcome to tonight's stream. I'm joined by the lovely Laura Towler and we are live on Rumble and Odyssey. And it's a very serious stream tonight. We've got a lot of things to discuss and we've got a major announcement coming soon. So there's going to be more than just the discussion of political prisoners tonight. But please do share the stream, share the Rumble link, share the Odyssey link, whichever one's your favourite, wherever you're watching, and make sure you get the word out because this is going to be quite a unique stream because no one else gives away money like we do. Most groups certainly don't do that. We're the only one who does it and we're the only one who does it consistently. This isn't the first time we've done it, and it certainly won't be the last. Whilst there's two-tier justice, there will continue to be streams like this. Anyway, let's get into it. But before we do, if you would like to support the stream, please do consider making a donation. You can only donate live through the show on Rumble. Please consider making a donation, and you can do that at any time throughout the stream, and everything is gratefully received. Remember, we don't charge anything. We don't charge anybody for our work. There's no paywalls. There's nothing that stops people reading or getting involved with us. There's nothing that paywalls our videos, our writings. Everything's for free, but we can only afford to keep doing that if people keep supporting us. And talking about paywalled comments, I've started a Substack. My Substack is completely free, so anyone can read it. And I've got a new article out today called Britain's Demographics, Is It Too Late? And this is a very interesting article because I have taken a very hard look at the most recent government data that's come out in the last few weeks relating to both the demographics in maternity wards, the demographics in British schools, but I've also looked at the recent net migration stats and broken them down in depth, giving net migration for both white Britons, for EU citizens, and for people from the rest of the world who are overwhelmingly non-white. And if you read my article, it's pushing 5,000 words long, but it breaks down in great detail the structural composition of mass immigration and also the demographic momentum within the country already. So I've looked at it from two points of view, the overall point of view, but the point of view of if immigration was stopped tomorrow, what would the situation be? And to spoil it a little bit, even if immigration was stopped tomorrow, it wouldn't save us. We would still become a minority, just at a slightly slower rate, because of the demographic composition of the country. This momentum is now baked into our society because of the demographic structure, because of what's happening at the lowest tiers and the highest tier of the population pyramid. I also then talk about what this means for saving the country. Can it be done electorally, or will we need to retreat to intentional communities? Now, this is a pretty big article. Please support it. Now, unfortunately, this is a bit of a shocker. It's been age restricted, not because I've said anything illegal, not because I've said anything outrageous, but because articles discussing demographic changes in the UK are immediately age restricted in Britain, thanks to the Online Safety Act. So if people can go and support my Substack, you can subscribe to me there. Please do if you like my work. But this is one of the most in-depth articles I've ever seen written on demographics, and it's with completely up-to-date figures, which makes it more important. Please do go read that and support us there, or make a donation here tonight live on stream and we will do a question and answer. It's not very often me and Laura come together for streams anymore. We're both parents. She does a lot of like the mum stuff, like putting the kids to bed and things. So she's not always here on streams, but tonight's a great evening to ask us questions. So please do consider making a donation. Share the stream. Help us continue on. You can also donate via crypto. All links in the description below. And finally, you can write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com if you want to speak to me about anything. Anyway, I'm now going to introduce Laura Towler. Laura, how have you been? You jumped on this pretty quickly. Laura is very, very passionate about the political prisoner stuff. She was the one who came up with the campaign. I can't take the credit for that myself. She was the mastermind behind doing this originally. She set it all up. And this is all largely her baby. It's down to her. How are you doing? And this is a great time to kickstart the campaign again.
Yes, well, thanks for having me, Mark, and good evening to everybody who's watching. We started this with the political prisoners that were convicted and sentenced to prison in Southport after the Axel Rudakabana murder of three young girls. And we dished out quite a bit of money back then, but we still had some in the pot. And we said, don't feel the need to waste it on something. Let's save it because there will be more political prisoners in the future. Lo and behold, the Southampton protests happened and more people are being fast-tracked, encouraged to plead guilty and being given very, very hefty prison sentences for things like defending themselves and throwing a bin and stuff like that. So we've already made contact with one political prisoner. He actually pleaded not guilty. Good man. But he's been held on remand until November. So he has a child who's 14 and then an adult child as well. So his child's birthday is just coming up, actually. So they're obviously struggling without his income. So that will help to go towards things like that. So it's really great to be helping these people. And I do have to say, Mark sort of gave me all the credit then, but it's actually two groups of people that have made this possible. The first one is everybody who donates. I know Sam shared the link on Twitter. We've been pushing it on Telegram. And over the last week or so, we've had another couple of £1,000 donated to us. So everybody who donates, whether it's £1, whether it's £100, it all adds up. So thank you for that. But then also we've got a really good admin team behind the scenes. There's a group of about 10 people there who are working really hard to make contact with the families of political prisoners and then get in touch with them and then find out what their stories are, vet them as well, because, you know, we want to make sure that it's decent people that we're giving the money to, people who've got children. And they're working really hard to do that. So it's those two groups that make it possible, really. But it's something that we want to do long term. And this is one of the great things about Patriotic Alternative. I think there are a lot of groups who are sort of trying to get a slice of the same pie, maybe focusing on elections or maybe focusing on other very similar things. But at PA, our focus is our community, advocacy and activism. And obviously this sort of stepped into a couple of those categories because community is part of it, but it's advocating for our people in a way that can have a direct impact. It's not, we've got a 20-year plan and then we could make some progress. It's like we're literally helping families today. So I love that about Patriotic Alternative. And myself and Sam and a lot of other people are still as passionate about the organisation today as we were 6.5 years ago. So it's something that we're going to continue to do.
Well, look, as well, I want to say something as well. I say this every time we talk about this issue, but I'm very passionate about this. I'm not calling out any groups by name, but there are a lot of groups out there that they say, right, we've got this cause we're fighting for and we want your money. Donate to us. You never see how much is actually donated. You only find out how much is given to the person or the cause. So there's always this grey area. And this grey area is how much actually came in. What's the difference between what comes in terms of total taken, and what goes out, as in what ends up with the good cause? And I find that pretty abhorrent. Because I'm pretty sure there are groups out there that raise tens, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds, that are meant to go to a good cause, and only a fraction of that money gets where it's meant to be. So I'm sure groups have taken tens, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds, and then the recipients, whether they be soldiers sleeping on the streets, whether they be mums that have been evicted because their kids said something at school which they shouldn't have done, they only get a few thousand pounds. They don't get nearly anywhere near as much as been actually taken in total. Now, PA does this very differently. Everything we do goes through Give, Send, Go. And because it goes through Give, Send, Go, you see how much we've raised. Now, I can't say 100% will go to the cause, because Give, Send, Go are a business and they are a processor and they take a cut for their service. But that is the only money that doesn't make it to the frontline cause. The only money that doesn't get from the donation to the political prisoners is the money taken by the processor. Patriotic Alternative does not take a single penny of that money. Mark Collett and Laura Towler and the team at Patriotic Alternative do not take a single penny of that money. If £20,000 is donated, and if Give, Send, Go take 10%, £18,000, every penny of the money after processing fees goes to the families of the political prisoners. So this is not a situation where if you give, and the link to give is in the description below, you will see that on wherever you're watching it. If you click the show more, it will say donate to our fundraiser. And if you go to that fundraiser, you will see how much money has been raised. Laura keeps a total of how much has been withdrawn and how much we withdrew from that once the processing fees were taken. And you can be assured that every penny of that will go to the families of a political prisoner. And because of that, I believe that makes us the most honest and forthright group in the entire country. And that's our pledge to you. You can hold us to that. Nobody else will do what we've done. Simply, that's simple. And Laura has kept a perfect running total of this. And if you follow us on social media, you can follow Laura's social media posts, and they will tell you exactly how every penny of the money has been allocated so far and how much we've got left to distribute. That means not only don't we take any money from it, but there is 100% transparency. And I'm telling you this now, right? No other group does that. We've been accused of things over the years, completely falsely. And this campaign absolutely proves not only how above board we are, but how committed we are to what we stand for: community advocacy activism. And when it comes to those things, we truly mean it. That's why our money goes to frontline services, not to all-you-can-eat restaurants and people's car insurance, etc. Anyway, Laura, do you want to give a bit of an update on how much we've raised?
Yeah. So we said from, I agree with everything that Mark just said, and we said from the start that we were going to be completely transparent about where every single penny went. So if you follow us on Telegram, also if you check out our website, every time we find a new person to donate the money to, we tell you who it is. Obviously, we don't give you, we'll say like the family of political prisoner and then tell you the political prisoner, because we don't want to be giving kids names out and stuff like that, but we'll tell you exactly where it goes. And so far, I've got the dashboard up now. We have raised £24,548, and the transaction fees for Give, Send, Go are £1,467. And we've currently given out, so that leaves us with what, about 23 grand for us to actually hand out. We've currently given out 15,000 to different recipients already, leaving us with about 8 grand left to still give out. So you'll see that hopefully over the next few weeks, the next few months, as we make contact with more political prisoners. But just to reiterate with what Mark says, apart from the Give, Send, Go fees, and if anyone ever wants to know how much that is, just drop me an email and I'll let you know. 100% goes to the families of political prisoners. We don't even take money for things like, do you know when you use like 192 to try and find out people's addresses? We don't even take money for that. We pay for that ourselves. So it's something that we obviously kept our word about from the start when we said, we'll let you know where it goes. I think there's a lack of, do you agree, Mark? There's a lack of trust when it comes to fundraising in nationalism in particular, because, you know, sometimes people raise money for documentaries about one thing and then they end up being documentaries about another thing, or sometimes people raise money and then it's lots and lots of money, but you never really know where it goes. So we really felt like we had to be, not that we ever had any problem with it, but we really felt like we had to be very clear and transparent from the start. So I hope you guys appreciate that, and also enjoy seeing that the money is being handed out to families as well, because it's a nice thing to be able to help people.
Yeah, and we really want to make this clear because it's important to us. And I can honestly say that this money does make a huge difference. And I've said this before, but I have personally dealt with some of the cases. Laura's dealt with some. I've dealt with some. Sam's dealt with some. He's dealt with the most recent one. But when I've dealt with the cases, I can honestly say the response from families is overwhelming. These people can't believe there's a group out there. They think it's a joke at first. They think, what? There's actually a group out here helping white Britons, giving money to a patriotic, the families of patriotic political prisoners. What's going on here? This must be a joke. You're not the BBC, are you? And you're like, no, there really is the money. And, you know, I actually dealt with one particular woman, and she said to me, she was almost in tears, and she couldn't thank me enough, because she said, you know, we got a grandson who was desperate for a bike for Christmas, and we were saying, how are we going to tell him he can't have the bike for Christmas? You know, what are we going to do? And you've fixed Christmas. And that's really what we want to do. We want to be people that, rather than profiteer off people's misery and just put up fundraisers, we want to be people that make a difference at the micro level. A lot of people talk about the macro level. They talk about what they're going to do when they take power and change the country. Well, I can tell you this, absolutely 100% factually, everybody in this country who's ever been involved in nationalism that have talked about the macro changes they're going to make have failed dismally and never made a single change. However, by making a change on the micro level, making a change in people's day-to-day lives, you actually do affect real, genuine change. You can talk all you want about what you're going to do when you close the borders and start deporting people, but at the moment, that's a bit of a pipe dream. When we talk about making a change in people's lives, it isn't a pipe dream. We are really doing that. And that's what we think's important. And we believe if we make enough changes at a micro level, that will change the big picture. And I've got to say it, I think a lot of what we do, we hope to inspire others. If you'd have said to people, what, 6-7 years ago, when we were up on MAM tour, that MPs would start using the phrase White Lives Matter, people would have laughed at us. But MPs are using the phrase White Lives Matter, at least two have now. And this is what we hope to do. Now, I don't expect PA to change the whole world or the big picture. But what if we inspired somebody who's a millionaire to do this on a bigger level? And that's what we aim to do. And PA have made a lot of changes in people's lives, but we've also inspired a lot of people with a lot bigger reach than we have to do things that they wouldn't have otherwise done. And we started the fire when it came to White Lives Matter, and we intend to start the fire when it comes to helping white political prisoners who are being oppressed because of anti-white two-tier justice. And let's just put it right. I want you to really go through this, Laura, because this guy here is a quintessential example of two-tier justice. For a start, he's a former soldier, isn't he? He actually served the country, and he's disabled. Can you tell us a little bit about his service and his disability?
Yeah, well, he is ex-forces. He has PTSD, and he also has 13 pins in one of his legs. So he was at the Southampton protest, and he was sat on the wall, and the riot officers were in a line, and they moved their line past him without telling him. All he did, if you've seen the video, you'll know I'm telling the truth here, all he did was stay on the wall. I've got one metal bar in my elbow. I can't imagine what it's like having 13. So I think even if he wanted to move, he probably wouldn't have been able to move that quick anyway. And because he stayed sat on the wall, a large group of riot police ran over to him, began hitting him with their shields and kicking him. And then because he defended himself, which you would do, you know, you're going to put your hands up and push people away from you. He has been charged with assaulting an emergency worker and he's pleaded not guilty. Again, great guy. You know, a lot of people are being coerced, bribed into going guilty, saying that it'll be a lot easier for you if you do. He hasn't done that. And he's a father as well. So it's that's a tough thing to do. He's said not guilty and he's been remanded until November. However, his story, I don't know if you can share your screen, Mark, and show the video, but a lot of people are discussing it from the angle of police brutality. It's not like, yeah, he's going down, he's being bad.
Have you got a link to it you can send me on Telegram?
Yeah, I'll send it now. It's like people are discussing it from the perspective of look how bad the police are. So it'd be interesting to see what happens at his trial, if it does go ahead or not. But yeah, let me find this video and I'll send it to you because I found two videos.
You do that. And I want to say something here. This was at the Henry Novak protest, which followed a short event outside the police station. Now, I want to remind people that George Floyd, as he was dying, some of his last words were, "I can't breathe." Some of Henry Novak's last words were the same. He said the same thing, "I can't breathe." Now, if you remember correctly, when the police greeted BLM protesters, police were wearing white shirts, their normal sort of black tactical vest. They were wearing their normal beat clothes, and they took the knee for those black protesters. Now, we have a white boy dying at the hands of British police in a absolutely sickening manner, far worse than the death of George Floyd, because George Floyd was heavily intoxicated, had just committed a crime and was actually being arrested for good reason. Henry Novak was being arrested, well, wrongfully arrested. I mean, for a start, that was a wrongful arrest. But police met the Henry Novak protesters in full riot gear, and the police were clearly there because they wanted to ensure that there would be trouble. There was no attempting to call for calm. There was no attempted mediation. There was no officers taking the knee or begging forgiveness from the protesters after Henry Novak's death. And this tells you straight away that there actually is two-tier justice. And this two-tier justice can be seen in the fact that when the police deal with white protesters and when they deal with black protesters, they deal with them very, very, very differently. Let me bring this up on screen. Or bloody hell. I'm just watching it myself. I'm just about to bring it up, but it is absolutely shocking.
There's two different angles, so I think the longer video really shows you it close up, but they're both interesting.
We'll do this one first. Are you ready? One of them actually punched him in the head. Oh, no, it's not going to play now, is it? I was trying to... No, it must have been earlier. There is a bit. I'm sure one of them punches him in the head. Yeah, he does. He does. He's kicking him on the ground.
They got one. They're pinning him or something down.
And all he did was sit on a wall.
Boy, they're going to fucking kill that geezer in a minute.
That is absolutely unreal. The police are punching him in the head, kicking him when he's on the ground, and they're outnumbering him by... I mean, that is unbelievable. I'll say this now. You don't hate the police enough. You know, when people... Oh, you can't say anything bad about the police. They're just doing their job. absolute scum, beating him with riot shields, punching him in the head, kicking him when he was on the floor. I'll tell you this now. If that fella had been black and received that level of police brutality, the whole country would burn and every politician would be taking the knee. I've got to say, you know, the police should be shunned. And I mean shunned. If you own a business and you know police, don't let them in. Don't take their money. They shouldn't be welcome. Anyone who treats white protesters like that shouldn't be welcome within our communities. I mean, what do you think, Laura? That they are just...
Did you see that guy with the shield? Just go ram it in his head. Can you show that other angle? Because it shows earlier on. So it shows that it doesn't do anything. It's just sat on the wall.
I will bring up the other one.
But yeah, this is the first guy that we've helped, Matt Styler. He's got two children. One of them's an adult, but it's just a shocking. I didn't believe that it was going to be as bad as it was when Sam told me about the video.
You ready?
Hmm.
Oh, look, fuck the feds. Fuck these bastards, look at them. Come on. I'm not going anywhere. I wasn't, I'll tell you, I wasn't.
Pouring the blood.
Well, I think that tells you everything you need to know about the police, doesn't it?
I mean, fair play to him, he handled it well. At the end, he's just laying there looking up. But it's just, what can you even say about it? It's there on video. All he does is, like, literally puts his hands up and, like, tries to get him away from him. And he's been charged with assaulting an emergency worker. So, yeah. And I will say this about a lot of the people that are involved in the protests and a lot of the people that we're helping. No one else is helping these people. There's no group out there that considers them to be victims in any way, shape or form, a bit like young girls in Rotherham and Bradford, etc. No one's helping them at all. And there's groups for every other race, every other ethnicity, religion, there's groups for women, there's groups for disabled people, there's groups for everything. But these straight white men who are going out and protesting against horrific acts that we should be protesting against, I'm not saying be violent towards the police, but these people, their hearts are in the right place. And as we're getting to know some of them are a bit rough around the edges. And I'm not saying that in an insulting way, because I consider me and Sam to be a bit rough around the edges, my family to be a bit rough around the edges. But they're just like the people from the estate where I grew up, where my family live. And these people have got hearts of gold, and they will stick up for our people and they will defend our people. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what the situation in this country is going to be like, but I know that these people will be there for white people and will be there for British people, and they will take a stand. So, like I say, no one else is helping them, and I'm proud to, you know, warts and all, support these people who are just working class British people who are fed up with young girls being groomed and little girls being murdered at pop concerts and people choosing racism to be a worse sin or worse crime than stabbing someone. So yeah, they're a good set of people.
I really hope somebody can help him with a case against the police, because that use of force was absolutely disproportionate. I mean, I'm sick and I'm actually shocked at how hard they went in. Like, you know, punching him in the head and then kicking when he was on the ground, that wasn't just bundling someone over and sort of hurting them because you've landed awkwardly on him. That was absolute brutality. It's no wonder people hate the police, and they have every right to when the police behave like that. You know, you read these documents that the Conservative Party had put in place, like the Police Race Action Plan, talking about how every other ethnic group is treated worse than whites. Complete and utter nonsense. The police would not be able to treat another ethnic group in that manner. If they did, there'd be riots that would last for weeks. It would be crazy. I mean, the police are just traitors to our people. They are part of the establishment, and they should be seen in these circumstances as the enemy, because what they're doing is absolute anti-white brutality. It's sickening, just sickening. I mean, that has really, really shocked me as to how bad that is. I mean, because I'm not on X, I don't see a lot of different things, and I've spent a lot of time doing these big articles and writings now. And because of that, my head's buried. I'm looking at facts and figures. I don't have all day to sit on social media looking at content. So sometimes when I see things like this that I haven't seen or that have been sort of overlooked, whew, God, that is horrendous. So I really hope that not only can we help his family now, I hope he beats his case. I'm so happy he's pleaded not guilty, but I hope he gets them for police brutality. I mean, I've got to say this. If this was happening in a country like Russia or China, the British government would be calling for human rights monitors to go in, wouldn't they?
Yeah, someone's just wrote exactly that in the chat, actually. I mean, we just need to keep pointing it out, don't we? Like, reverse the races and imagine what the response would be. I mean, I just really can't get over the guy, like, holding his shield up and, like, ramming it into his head. It's like he wasn't even coming at you. It was, you've just piled on him. It's awful. But I hope that he fights it, and yeah, I hope that he goes after them as well. And if he does, we should support him to do that and get him all the help he needs.
Now, the next thing I was going to say is, we do have a plan ourselves for a protest, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Is there anything else you want to say about this guy? Because obviously, we want to make it clear as well. We have spoken to his family. They do know who we are. And I want to make this clear as well, because we should probably say this before we move on. When we speak to anyone, we make it absolutely clear in writing who Patriotic Alternative are, who we are, what we believe, and why we're giving the money. So if any of these people ever turn around and say, oh, we fooled them or anything like that, that's complete nonsense, because we never do that. And we even give people a sort of a cooling off time where we actually send them a message saying, look, I've done this myself. So we'll send the message. We'll say, you know, if you still sleep on it, and if you still want the money in, you know, tomorrow morning, text me before 9 o'clock and we'll have it in there for midday. And you always get the text. They always want the money. So if anybody ever turns around and says, you know, we've somehow hoodwinked them, that's complete nonsense. Is there anything else we've got to say about this guy? Because, I mean, obviously, as you said, he was a serving man in the army. He fought for his country. He is disabled. He was attacked by the police. He has been charged on some trumped up charge because he didn't attack anybody. Again, the police in Hampshire and the Isle of Wight constabulary, utter scum. And I want to tell you this, that's a conservative area. So the police and crime commissioner in that area is a woman called Donna Jones. And she could stop all of this at any time if she wanted to. But so when you see Kemi Badenoch doing the rounds saying this wouldn't be happening if the Conservatives were in charge, well, the Conservatives are in charge in Hampshire and Isle of Wight. They are in charge of the constabulary. And these officers are operating under a Conservative police and crime commissioner. So don't be fooled into thinking this would be any better under Kemi Badenoch. She is a liar. What she's saying is totally untrue. All of the policies and pieces of legislation that led to the death of Henry Novak were passed by Conservative Party governments, and this is a Conservative Party constabulary, so you know the truth about that. Is there anything else you want to add, Laura?
Just if you visit our Telegram channel and look at the post where we announced that we gave him the money, there's also his contact details there. So if you want to write to him in prison, like I say, he's held on remand until November. You can write him a letter or send him a card and just let him know that you're thinking about him and he's got support from the public and that kind of thing. I know my grandma, every time we have a new political prisoner, she starts writing to them and makes best friends with them. But, you know, Sam was in prison and I know that it's so boring sat in your cell for 22 hours a day and it helps him pass time and get through the days. So, yeah, if you want to write him a letter or even just a card, you know, you don't have to say too much. Just let them know that you support them. His details are on our Telegram channel.
That's superb. And I want to echo that. We understand that not everyone has got the money to make big donations or to, you know, keep digging deep. There's a lot of people who ask for your money. Obviously, you know, myself, Laura, Patriotic Alternative, we need, you know, need money. Then there's the political prisoner funds. And then there's other content creators out there that you follow. And we understand that not everyone has money, especially not in these economic conditions. And another way that you can help if you don't want to donate or can't donate is by writing to these people. When you're in prison, you know, letters, postcards, little gifts, people sending you, you know, stamps or helping you top up your account in prison so you've got a little bit of money there, that makes all the difference. It makes people realize that they haven't been forgotten. So that's another good way you can help. Anyway, we do have something else big we wanted to talk about tonight before we do any questions and answers. We are going to do the super chats in about 10, 15 minutes. We haven't had any yet. If you want to super chat or ask any questions, please do. But Laura, what are we planning for Indigenous Peoples Day this year? I'll let you announce this as well because you're the lady.
Well, I think you should announce this because I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to say.
Okay, I'll announce it. Well, okay. What we're doing is we're calling on all nationalist groups to come together. So I've already spoke to Steve Laws about this briefly, but we're calling on other groups, people like White Vanguard. We don't matter how big or how small these groups are, but around Indigenous Peoples Day, we're going to pick a date and we're going to have a central location and we are going to call for everyone to turn up with placards and banners that read White Lives Matter. We want a full-on White Lives Matter protest. We've never had one of these before. We've had White Lives Matter banner drops. We've had placards. We've had pieces of art. We've had stunts. But I don't think we've ever had a full-on public gathering calling for White Lives Matter. And this will be a first. And what we intend to do at this White Lives Matter event, it'll be in about month and a half or so, just under 2 months away, it'll be. We intend to have placards printed up that pay tribute to Henry Novak, point out why we're talking about this. And all these placards, all these banners, they will be unbranded. They'll just be plain. They'll read White Lives Matter. We will be taking leaflets that are branded and other groups are encouraged to do that. But the banners should all be simple and plain. It should all be about the message. It should coincide with Indigenous Peoples Day. And we're going to say, look, we're the Indigenous people of the British Isles. We are white. We are white Britons and White Lives Matter. We've had enough of two-tier policing. We've had enough of anti-white policy. And the accumulation of this anti-white policy and two-tier policing is the death of an 18-year-old boy at the hands of a Sikh, and his death may have been avoided if police had not prioritised a claim of racism at the scene over and above the provision of emergency medical care. And remember, that is part of the Conservatives' police race action plan, that any accusation of racism at the scene of a crime must be prioritised above all other factors. That means if there's somebody lying on the floor bleeding, the arresting officers have to prioritise the claim of racism. And I'm going to read you something here from the from Donna Jones. This is a statement put out by Donna Jones on her website, and it says the Police and Crime Commissioner has also said the inspectorate should examine the training provided to frontline officers responding to knife crime incidents, including the application of immediate first aid and the physiological presentation of serious internal bleeding. The adequacy and regularity of that training will also be reviewed, and how officers are trained to triage competing accounts at the scene of a violent incident, specifically whether the provision of immediate medical assistance is treated as an unconditional duty that operates independently of any assessment of culpability. This is a shocking revelation, and it tells you everything you need to know. At the moment, the provision of immediate medical assistance is not treated as an unconditional duty. In other words, immediate medical assistance, thanks to the Police Race Action Plan, is a secondary consideration to police officers attending a crime scene if an allegation of racism has been made. Now, that sounds like total insanity, but that is what police guidance is at the moment in Britain. Current police guidance tells officers that they must prioritise any claim of racism above all else. Well, that's what led to Henry Novak's death, and that's what we want to point out to the police. And we will have leaflets, banners and placards, and we hope everyone can make it. We hope everyone will be big enough to stand up with us. We will make it a central location. It will be somewhere that is well connected. And afterwards, as always, there will be some kind of social event or some kind of gathering. So, you know, the day out isn't just you coming and doing the demo and disappearing. But this will be something big. There will be speeches from leading activists and organisers. And if you are an organiser of another group, please do get in touch with me. Get in touch with PA. We will work this out. We will make it big. And I hope you will all be there. What do you think to this, Laura? Because the White Lives Matter stuff, we started that. We had some great events for Indigenous Peoples Day. I think our biggest Indigenous Peoples Day event ended with over 1,000 different pieces of activism over one weekend worldwide, which was fantastic. Probably the biggest coordinated day of pro-white activity to ever take place. And we spearheaded that. At the time, we did that with Nordic Resistance and also with the National Justice Party, who are no longer operating. But hopefully we can get people, not only in this country, but maybe elsewhere in the world, joining us for this. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's going to be great. You know, the way that we did Indigenous Peoples Day for the first few years was really good, and we had a lot of very creative banners. Sam and I actually visited Clifford's Tower in York on his birthday a few days ago, and that's where Yorkshire put their big White Lives Matter banner. But we got to the point where we were just running out of ideas, and the regions were like, I've done every land back in my area. So we decided to sort of start mixing it up a little bit, and I think this will be a really good opportunity for people to come together, get out in the street, really make some noise, get some fantastic footage of people unapologetically standing up for the rights of white people. And you know, Henry Novak is going to be a big part of that, but there's lots of other victims of anti-white violence as well, like Chris Donald, Richard Everett, Ross Parker, Lucy Lowe, Aaron Dugmore, who was a young child who committed suicide because of racist bullying because he was white. And we want to raise awareness of all these people, because this is why we say White Lives Matter. Look what's happening. Look what's continuing to happen. And it doesn't even have to be murder. Look at all the terrible things that are happening. Rape gangs and stuff across the country have been going on for many years now and continuing to go on. So, yeah, I'll be there. Sam will be there. Mark will be there. And we want lots of other groups to come, lots of other individuals to come as well, and come and hold a placard, a banner, and listen to some speeches, maybe give a speech as well. And it should be a good day, and it should really help us raise awareness about anti-white violence.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to be talking about anti-white violence, we're going to be talking about two-tier justice, we're going to be talking about the way the police operate, we're going to talk about the different standards that different ethnic groups are held to. I'll be making a speech, probably a little longer than my usual speeches, because this will have a different tone. It won't be the "did you vote for this" kind of tone. It'll be a bit more hard hitting in terms of the way we as white people have been treated, and the fact that we are people that have a right to be first class citizens in our ancestral homeland, but we're at the bottom of the ethnic totem pole. Anyway, is there anything else you want to raise, Laura?
No, I don't think so. We've ticked everything.
We haven't had anyone asking any questions or super chats tonight. So if there's nothing for us to answer, we might as well call it a night. It's not going to be a long stream. We wanted to talk about this, though, because it was important, and we wanted to raise awareness of the political prisoner campaign. And I understand that many people would rather vote with their wallets and donate to that rather than the stream tonight. So that's fine. And people have been doing that, and we appreciate that. So if there aren't going to be any super chats or questions, I will give you one last rallying call. Please go and check out my Substack. There's a new article there today. You can support me via Substack by subscribing. That makes a massive deal to me. The article today you have to sign in to read because it has age verification, because anything on Substack talking about demographic changes is age-gated thanks to the Online Safety Act, which is a complete scandal. But if you do want to go and check that out, please share that article. It's the most in-depth article with the most up-to-date statistics on the demographic nightmare that you will find anywhere. Please go and check that out after the show. And if you like it, share it to friends and family so that they understand just how bad things really are. And to put things into perspective, I don't know if you know this, Laura, but white British school children are now a minority in classrooms in every single borough of London.
I'm just not surprised by that at all. Yeah, it's just...
But at one point, there was these outlying boroughs like Bromley, you know, places on the edge of London, which were, you know, just inside, you know, the ring road, just inside the sort of M25 ring. And they had maintained white minorities, but they have now crossed that threshold. And when you look at the places where white children are a minority in schools, it's all the bigger cities. It's places like Birmingham, Manchester, London. And to say that London has, I think it's about 12 million people, and every single area of London, white children are a minority, that tells you what the future is going to look like. But also, despite us being a minority in places like Bromley, where we're just 49.7%, in some boroughs, there are less than 10% of children in school classed as white British. So in places like Newham, I think it's about 9-point-something% of the children there are white British. At this point, I'm not really sure how you could ever affect political change in London.
No, I think it's just a case of separating and rebuilding our own communities because, I mean, I have two daughters aged 2 and 4. So my oldest she'll be school age this September. And it's this whole new set of worries about, you know, have I kind of found somewhere good? Okay, I found somewhere good, but now I need to keep a close eye on everything. And it's like when your kid goes out into the world, whether it's school or anything else, you just want to protect them from everything, but then you also don't just want to lock them up inside and be like, you can't talk to anyone or go anywhere. And it is a scary time to be a parent. And when you've got a child that you love so much and you want to just be happy and healthy and safe, you've got all these new worries, really. Sam and I have found a school that's got good demographics, and you know the teachers seem to be good and the ethos and the values of the school are good, but it's still scary for us being like, okay, let's give this a go and see how it goes, let's keep an eye on everything. And I can't imagine what it's like for families who have no other choice but to send their children to a school where being white they're the minority and no one's speaking the same language as your kid, and there are little cliques and bullying and all this kind of stuff. It's just, we shouldn't have to put up with this. You know, Mark the baker from PA Yorkshire came around to our house today and we were chatting about things, and I just said to him, we just want to be left alone, don't we? We just want to be left alone, and we want a home where we can be safe and we can have a future. We can be among our own people. That's all that we want. You know, we're not horrible people. Everyone else around the world gets that. So, yeah, it's just scary times. I've gone on a bit of a rant now, but I think what we just need these separate communities, don't we, where we can be among each other and we can be safe and we can have our own values and language and stuff. Maybe that's the way that things are going to go more in the future.
Well, read my article, because I say, look, there's two options. We either do it politically or we separate. But when you look at the political options now, it is very, very difficult to see how white Britons can vote their way out of this with the demographics being what they are. And I lay all that out with facts and figures from recent general elections. So please go and check that article out. Please support me on Substack. And thank you for being with us tonight. Is there anything you want to say finally, Laura? Is there anything you want to bring up or any message you want to give before we wrap it up?
Just very quick, if you signed up to the Patriotic Alternative newsletter, you'll know that our summer camp is coming up soon. So it would be great to see you there. I'll be there. Sam will be there. Our family will be there. Lots of people from PA will be there. So, yeah, sign up to our newsletter and come to the camp, because it's always one of the best events of the year. So that's coming up soon.
Yeah, and if you want to come to the camp, you can email me again at camp@patrioticalternative.org.uk or mark@thefallofwesternman.com, and I can give you the link so you can get more information and join us there. That's a great way to end it. Thank you to Laura for being here tonight. Thank you to everyone who tuned in and joined us. Please do share this stream and please do check out my Substack. Thank you. And if you are out doing activism at the weekend, be careful, stay within the law, and make sure that you don't do anything that can give the state an excuse to arrest you. Anyway, I love you all. Thank you and good night. We'll see you all again soon.